Okay, so we'll start out with introductions. This is the OSU proposal review. And if you want to go and introduce yourself, starting at random, I guess.
I'm Sarah Hinkle, assistant professor at OSU.
I'm Kristen Politano. I'm Sarah Hinkle's lab manager.
I'm Vince Politano, faculty research assistant for Selena and Scott Heppel.
And I'm Scott Heppel, assistant professor in fisheries and wildlife at OSU. Oh.
Joe Hayward.
Point.
Paul Ansiglio.
Pete Lawson.
Peggy Hawker.
And Jim Fuller.
Frank Day Felipis.
Charlie Plavin.
Okay, so we're here to review your proposal, and we'll just start out. Well, let me start with, do you want to say anything for your to speak to your proposal before we start?
No, we feel it's a really strong proposal and we're really excited about the team we put together.
Okay. Speaks for itself then. Okay, so we'll just go page by page and ask questions if there are any clarity that we have for this. So page one. I don't see anything.
Actually, I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Go ahead, Charlie.
I wanted to try and get tier one, tier two discussion. Well,
Before we do, let me ask.
Do your generalized question.
Yeah, so what is your broader interest in this project? How does it fit into your research?
So this is a zone of the ocean that Scott and I have spent a lot of time investigating many questions in these coastal sedimentary habitats. I've been working there for the past year and a half, specifically studying benthic and epifaunal invertebrates and flatfish, and looking at their trends across space and across seasons. And we've seen some really strong spatial trends in the infaunal invertebrates, so the organisms that are living in the sediment. I've often said if I were lost on the Alaska and I took a core, I would know where I was. Because after looking at the organisms as often as I have and knowing their distinct spatial distributions, I'm pretty familiar with them. And then the shrimps and fishes have really strong seasonal variability that we've been observing. So this is just an opportunity to do some more surveys, learn more about these organisms, and then dive into more of what some of the specific impacts are potentially on these organisms. So far, we've just been doing surveys and we haven't been looking at the why we're seeing these patterns. And so this is an opportunity to go down one road and look at some potential whys.
I guess I'd add to that, sort of the why part I find fascinating. And we've been doing a little bit of work, and you may have seen a picture of actually my personal boat on the cover of the Oregonian last July when Kip Sherman was out there doing the dye studies and circulation work. So,
yeah, I saw that.
And, and so we've worked in the near shore, and I've actually been working in the near shore looking at, and we've been doing work in the sort of connectivity between near shore and estuary as well, particularly as it relates to rockfish, but interested in other organisms as well. And then since you asked the broader impacts, not just science, of course, one of our main missions at OSU is not just research, but using research as a training vehicle as well. And we have, over the last several years, Selena Hall, who's my wife, who's not here tonight because somebody has to take the kid to soccer practice, and I have been doing both undergraduate and graduate training, and in fact, I work with students from Newport High School for hands-on fieldwork type sampling. And this project, because it's near shore, it's close, and it's very discreet, actually lends itself very well to those sorts of things as well.
Okay.
Yes, I have a quick question. I noticed that Selena is listed as a PI or a co-PI, but there's no salary for her.
Right, so she's involved, but that's because her salary is fully covered by the university at this time.
Okay.
I don't know if you probably are familiar with the way different faculty salaries work. For example, I actually don't know what your appointment, my appointment is a 12-month appointment, so okay. I'm expecting to work year-round, but the university covers 75% of my salary, and so the other 25% comes off of grants and contracts. In Selena's case, she's covered at a full 1.0 FTE. So the university is paying her time and expecting her to commit to projects like that. So essentially it could be considered a salary match, but since there weren't any match requirements here, and because the university is extremely touchy about how match is made, we thought it better to commit her as a zero salary as opposed to a match time.
Okay. Any other? Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and start at page one, providing services to meet goals and objectives. Any questions or concerns within this section?
So I had a question about tier one, tier two approach. And this is not, sorry, I don't fully grasp the EPA model of tier one, tier two, I somewhat understand it. But I guess my question is, the proposed analytes that you guys have in here, would those all be scanned in a tier one scan? Mm-hmm. Okay, and so then it's tier two would be then, what would trigger tier two, I guess is my question, and what is tier two?
So if you look further in the, data analysis and evaluation. So I put page numbers on mine because I realized you guys didn't have it. Page eight.
By the way, that was one of my complaints.
After the instruments and methods and data analysis and evaluation. So there's a couple tiers, sort of sub-tiers built into this. They're not called out as tiers in this section, but the first thing is to say, okay, do any of these higher analytes have concentrations that are higher than background? That's the first cut. You know, is there anything that's coming up? And then the second cut is, okay, are any of those levels that we're seeing human health risks? So that's sort of the second cut. And then the third cut is, are any of them known to show impacts to the organisms in terms of their reproduction or their shell formation? And so we can basically do those within the confines of this work. So we get the analyte output, and then we can look in the literature to see where those values fall on those guidelines. If we saw levels that were of concern for human health or of concern to the organisms in an ecological sense, we would recommend potentially doing another study where you are caging the organisms, clean organisms, cage them, see if they're being contaminated, and look at the specific endpoints, biological endpoints in those organisms that you know have had a known residence time in the effluent.
Okay, so I guess basically then everything you've described within here is part of your tier one analysis. Mm-hmm. Then.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, that was the main thing I wanted to make sure of when we were moving forward. Thank you.
You will do a tier two if those criteria are met as far as.
Well, to get more money.
Oh, right. Well. Okay. That was not quite
done. She's working for free already.
So, yeah, it's actually should point out that there's a whole bunch of different different EPAs worked out one. Bonneville Power Administration has one for monitoring the Columbia River for salmon. There's actually a tier three, which actually gets into restoration monitoring effectiveness. And so ideally, we had the opportunity to do tier two, which are these in situ experiments on site, caged organisms, RP. But ultimately, you get to tier three, where you actually look at responses to mediation of any of the particular problems later on. That's way down the road if we ever got past tier two.
Okay. Or even tier one.
Assuming anything that would come after anything would potentially trigger that tier two, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
So species selection, I have no doubt that you are very comfortable with collecting new species and knowledgeable of the area. But I am curious, the mysid shrimp, I guess I don't know exactly what kind of mysid that is. Is that a bottom dweller?
They're the ones that swarm near the bottom.
Okay. So they've been there. What's their lifespan?
What is their lifespan?
They live years?
Not many.
Yeah, my understanding is 2 to 3.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there a microphone on? Or is that just my ears?
Something else. No,
that's just you, Frank.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
The phone.
No, it's some sort of, like,
I don't know.
Air compressor.
The noise in the ventilating system. Is that okay?
No.
I don't know what it is. I just made that up.
So I guess my question is, is it the trophic status that made you select mice and shrimp?
Yeah, they're the dominant food source for flatfish and for gray whales.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of a real stretch going from a mice into a gray whale.
That's the thing. Well, they eat them.
A lot of them. Okay, are there any additional questions on the goals and objectives? Sample collection and preparation. Let's see, a lot of reference there.
Well, I've got a question about you're talking about not using aluminum foil. Mm-hmm. Do you anticipate any problems with plastics from the bags?
According to FICES, who are experts in this, that is their preferred carrier.
Okay.
Holding containers, so I presume that they've worked through that.
Yeah, it was actually their caution for aluminum foil. He considered it suboptimal to Ziplocs. Mark Baker and Rich Gossett listed in here as the consultants for FICES.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gossett.
Yeah. They actually said that if they were seeing any sort of large spikes in concentration, they could go back and try to trace where that was coming from and see if it was a Ziploc bag, so they apparently have whole methods.
There's so many different plastics, you must have a specific plastic bag that you use.
Well, Ziploc brand, not just Western Family. They want Ziploc, so they must be very familiar with any signal that might come from Ziploc.
Okay.
It's probably a repeatable signal.
Okay, so
I have one other question for the flatfish. I'm curious why you guys chose to not composite the fish samples.
We decided that that compositing over the many body parts of the fish was sort of integrating the contaminant load. We talked about it in the pre-proposal meeting when we were here last time, and it felt like the general group consensus was that we didn't want the fish composited.
It might have been overkill, I think, was what we were talking about. Compositing 10 fish is a bit of a ridiculous
thing. We don't handle like that kind of stuff, so we were having a hard time, I think, wrapping our head around how do you composite, you know. So I think that's kind of why we were a little unsure. This is not what we do. But in thinking about it, we were interested, though, in kind of our best broad representation. And so... I know it says here later in the report, but I'm going to ask you anyhow. So how many fish would you be doing then?
So there would be 25 fish.
There would be 25, okay.
Five
per site.
So on page 4. So you talk about the mobility of target organisms, quantities. PEDEs. Any questions on page 4 or concerns?
Just a quick question. And I see this repeated a few times, and the sentence here is like, in the event that effluent-related bioaccumulation is detected in marine tissues. I just want to make it clear that there's a lot of things that we're scanning for that are not effluent-related. So would you guys still suggest some sort of tier 2 analysis if it wasn't effluent related? For example, say there's ridiculous flame retardants in there, but we can't have any,
way of
tying PCBs back to the effluent. Would you still be able to recommend and suggest a tier 2?
Well, I think, it will be, the data will lead us to a conclusion as to whether or not it's effluent related, just because it's not expected something's going to be in the effluent. If we see sort of a radius of concentration, it's highest near the effluent site and decreasing at our reference stations further away, there is reason to suspect that that could be an effluent related compound, even if it's not one that going into this project
was listed.
Listed as something potentially coming out of DEP.
Okay.
So essentially you'll be doing kind of broader scanning, if you will. And, you know, if something should pop up that, how do you say, they weren't being told to monitor for, you'll find it. Or so you hope.
Yeah, I mean, there were the number of analysts in this proposal, yes, well beyond exactly what they yes. report on.
By yeah, they have extraordinary capability, actually. FISIS was well prepared to do it at the push of a button, so it's all part of the deal.
On page four, I have it. Just kind of a question here. Mm-hmm. This the samples you talk about, you know, the storage and chain of custody, are they processed at here in town, or
they'll be processed at FISIS? They have all the FISIS, clean room okay. facilities. You know, everything's made out of silica, so there's no metal instruments, that sort of
thing. So primary collection and you know, processing that we'll do is packaging for shipment to them, and then all the weighing, measuring, and everything else is handled under clean facilities at their facility.
Have you worked with FISIS before? Sounds like quite a lab.
I have not.
I have.
Really?
When I was in California, I worked a lot with SCWRP, the Southern California Water Resources Panel, and they use FISIS quite a bit. So I haven't had a direct relationship with FISIS prior to this. Mm-hmm.
It's why Dan recused himself, is that he was part of SCWRP and these people.
Oh.
And so he recused himself.
Oh, okay. This whole panel. I wonder what's going on. Okay, yeah. Interesting.
We lost one of our members.
I thought that we had.
Yeah, because he was one of the founders of SCWRP and worked with the ISIS right. group, and it was
felt a conflict of interest, and I
yeah, he just didn't want to get caught in it.
And on that note, I know we mentioned that with the last group, but we kind of made any disclaimers, and we felt that we could make a fair and impartial decision. Okay, so page five, containers, trace organics or analysis, mm-hmm. instrumentation, methodology, any questions or concerns?
And as a note, this language was lifted from FISIS SOPs.
So. Right?
Yeah.
They probably know.
We're on page five, which is
five, six,
trace
seven.
Organics. Yeah, yeah. Is it five or six?
I don't know. The trace organics analysis page.
Five if you count the cover page. Six.
Okay. So
yes.
Five. Right.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on to the next page, I'm going to just call it six. More of the methodology.
Yeah, do we want to jump section by section since a lot of this is
boilerplate?
Yeah.
Well, not exactly boilerplate.
It's not exactly boilerplate, but it's
very
detail.
Instrumental.
Yeah. So if we asked any questions, we couldn't understand the answers.
That's where that, my disclaimer, I'm not an SME. Okay, so trace metal analysis and instrumentation methodology. Any questions?
Yeah, same deal.
Yeah. Do you have any questions about that, Ann?
No, they definitely seem to, you know, have them.
Okay. Page eight.
Yeah, they definitely think they know how to do it, don't they?
Yeah.
Data analysis and evaluation of results. So this is deliverable, I would think.
Yes, well, they cite my old boss. So it must be okay.
Okay, so any questions or concerns? Clarity? So maybe not. I thought I had a question here, but it's really in the next section. Okay, so report preparation, that's where my question is. And it's really a timeline question. 8 months, do you see any potential items that would jeopardize that timeline?
No, I think that's easily achievable. That was the guidelines that was set up in the RFP.
Okay. Any other questions or concerns up to this point that maybe I skimmed over? Or?
No, but I might just add that the chemical analysis turnaround is on the order of weeks, not months. So the data is achievable nearly immediately after we send it.
I was thinking mainly of more resources in staffing, knowing that you have certain project cycles and so on, and you're going to use students as well, volunteers, and sometimes you can't really count on people being there when they say they're going to be.
So just to be clear, the intent for the students was actually for the actual field work and collection aspects of things. Okay. The writing will happen amongst the core group. Analysis, primarily amongst the core group, with the opportunity for students to learn the process, but not necessarily be, you know, driving the process, if you will.
Okay.
And I might also add that we have written it to exclude the participation of students. That will be a bonus. So this is achievable.
But it is an educational opportunity.
Yeah,
so that's good.
Yeah.
So I've got a. I'm interested in your statement at the end of your analysis and evaluation about different contaminants accumulate differentially in relation to size. I don't. I don't understand what's going on there.
So the idea is that some contaminants scale with the organism. So the amount of contaminant in a tissue is relative. So a bigger organism has more, but the ratio is the same. So a small organism will have the same relative amount. Whereas other contaminants, which have longer residence time, as the fish gets bigger, it accumulates more and more and more. So a bigger fish will have relatively more than a smaller fish.
And you would also see that with different position and trophic level as well, potentially, if there's actual bioaccumulation going on. I suspect that we wouldn't see that particular aspect in this case necessarily because of the relatively low surface levels that we're still finding, maybe.
Right, and at 10 centimeters in size, those are still, are those young of the year?
That was the idea, is to get young of the year, so that we were certain we were capturing fish who basically their whole lives have been in this zone, swam offshore and
migrated back.
I want to jump back just to ask a quick question. You're using a bean trawl, 10 minutes, is that right, at the sites? 1.5 meters, it's a pretty small bean trawl. Is that because of the near shore kind of conditions and locations? You need to be tight with?
Yeah, that's kind of a limitation of the Calliope, but we regularly use a 2 meter wide bean trawl, and it definitely gives us sufficient sample size for all of the ecological studies we've done. The Calliope will just be a bit smaller, but certainly able to get the numbers that we're looking for.
So that's primarily your boat construction that's got you on 1.5.
Yeah, I can run the 2 meter off of the Ilaca fairly easily, but we've got ready access to the Calliope. It's the details in there, but it's a 29-foot coastal research vessel, and the advantage for us to using that vessel is that we're qualified to run that vessel, whereas with the Ilaca you have to hire a captain, so it just facilitates our being able to go as needed and reduces costs substantially.
And the shallow near shore.
And the shallow near
shore aspect of this site.
Well, you don't have to wait to see when it's available.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Ilaca's all looked up for August already.
The weather's right.
So did we cover, now maybe I'll go through the project costing or statement of qualifications I left off. Project costing, any questions there? That's a lot of detail.
Pretty detailed, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that could take 5 bucks.
Yeah.
Okay, so the data analysis and evaluation of results, report preparation. key staff rates on, okay. Now into experience.
I did have the projected cost and proposed services question. I'm trying to rectify between the two different charts here. The first one is kind of your, goes over your sample and composite and your analytical chemistry. Where is that total represented in this second table? So that I see 85,625 there, and then I see 81,250 here. What's the difference?
Gotcha.
Behind the references.
Yeah, this one that they're discussing.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I get it. Sorry.
Okay, that's where the labor costs come in.
Yeah, so B and C are basically the licensed too. And so on the large budget, that's the large fees and services line item.
Fees and services, Amy.
Yeah. I'm totally lost now.
We're just looking at this, the overall chart here, and I just...
Budget justification.
170 for...
So I was
asking... I don't seem to have it.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. But it was put in behind the references.
Yes.
Well, mine is in a different place.
Mine's in a different place.
Oh,
mine,
all right.
Mine is...
Yeah, but it... Oh, okay.
Mine is...
It was in a different place, yes. Okay.
Yeah,
I just put it back.
So this is the page.
Here you go, Frank. Yes, that's it.
That's fine. I just want to make sure we capture it.
Yeah, it's okay. Just, it's out of order.
Oh, yeah.
Next time, make sure they're
okay.
Numbered.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure that. Did we capture what the concern was?
We did. It's right.
Okay.
No.
The quality of response.
Okay. So moving on past the reference material and appendix. Any questions with the appendix? You have the target areas mapped out. That's consistent with the RFP. We have more qualifications of staff. Any questions with those two items?
Did we talk? We talked to you about removing the gut on the. Mm-hmm.
Where are we at? The
I'm
references.
Maybe this appendix
charts.
3.
I'm like ridiculously impressed with all these analytes, by the way.
Okay, I'm thinking all the reference material is okay. Appendix 3, it looks like it's a City of Newport business license.
No substitution there.
No, they don't need that.
Yeah.
They actually, neither proposer needs that.
Okay, so. Appendix 4. Okay, so that's quality control. No. This is just more methodology, it looks like.
Well, let me tell you, I support students by making them count, and they're
this
like
is more
95%
operational.
The same thing. We just occasionally get this like few. They're almost always neomyces cadiacensis.
Okay. So, what about the references? Any questions or concerns on the references? For the copy I have, that was the last page.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're about halfway through the proposal.
that was
giving you a hard time.
The copy I have.
Spiral map, so you couldn't mix up the pages.
I mean, there's a map of the.
No, I already said that.
No. He meant this one. This one.
Gotcha.
The people who write them for you. References.
Gotcha.
So, in summary, in conclusion. Is there any other overall items that we may have missed or more qualifying questions that we would have?
Do they have any questions for us?
Yeah. What do you have any questions?
I can start off with one. We talked about the tier one, tier two type analysis. You can make recommendations for those tier two type analyses, assuming that that trigger occurs. Would there be an interest or intention by the city of Newport or others to move forward with that if it was indicated?
That would be entirely up to the city of Newport.
That's not necessarily something we could answer. There would be a number of groups, if the city of Newport wasn't interested, that would probably execute quickly on that.
So. If there were findings of interest that would indicate that was appropriate, I think there could be some discussion with the city that would influence them, yes.
Yeah, that ties with my me being cheap statement and ask, is there any value add that we should be aware of, and then does this tie into any grants or anything that could, you know, perpetuate the more study and more monitoring?
Well, I think, you know, it's too early to say if some of these analytes were in higher levels of concentration than we found acceptable. It would certainly be interesting and prudent to pursue some more in-depth analyses and looking at biological endpoints in the organisms. But, you know, at this point,
same with us. We just need the data, and then other people go on with the data that comes out.
It's nice baseline data that we don't have on the Oregon coast. So. I kind of have a question. Probably should have asked our other proposers this too, but.
Are you on the map?
I don't know how much you guys looked at the CH2 and Hill study. But I was really curious by one of the reference areas and some of the results that were found. In fact, if you took one of those reference areas out of the results, being the South Beach one, you would have seen significant differences both in infaunal and also some of the water quality parameters between the outfall area and this other reference area to the north. So I'm really curious whether or not we're going to see some reflection within animals of that, particularly in a reference area. There's a lot of reasons why I care about this one, namely because my house is right there. I use that beach all the time. But I think that, you know, would you guys be, would you address that if you saw something like at a reference area that didn't, let's say a reference area was significantly different than any of the other areas, would you be able to address that in some sort of way in your report? Or
yeah, there's definitely, you know, the way that this section of the coast is set up, there are some challenges associated with picking reference areas. You've got one that's on the other side of the bay coming out, the estuary coming out, and then the other one's on the other side of that large headland. And so there's a lot of processes that could be affecting the north reference site that aren't affecting, you know, the impact site. There's a lot of things that are going on at the south reference site that's different from the impact site, regardless of whether or not there's an outfall there. So I think that we definitely address them. I think Scott and I's experience in this zone and knowing the patterns that we've seen in the organisms that we've been sampling for years can help us have a better understanding of, if we do see differences, what they might be attributable to other than the GP outfall.
And one other question. Would FISIS be doing the review of the analytes, or would you guys be doing that? Would they just be giving you the data and you guys would be reviewing that?
So they'll be giving us the output and also in reference to what our considered by the industry background. And then we would be looking at going into the literature and saying, okay, this far above background, that's what, is this a human health concern? Is this, you know, a biological endpoint for these organisms? So we'd be doing the interpretation, but getting all the numbers from them.
Okay.
We are pretty close to the top of the hour. Anything else?
Just one other thought. Obviously, we asked for the RFP, said we put a report in. Is there any interest by this group or by the city council more generally of having some sort of public forum presentation of this once it's wrapped up and vetted through the council? Because it seems like the citizens of the city might be interested in hearing that and might not want to wait through a technical report.
Absolutely. I think that's, again, a question for the council, exactly, you know, how we disseminate this information, but I think that is of the interest of them to have some sort of something that they can give to the public other than a report, whether that's an executive summary or even better yet, I think a workshop or a presentation.
By law, you have to disclose, so I don't know if that would be an issue at all, but to disclose the findings.
Oh. Well, but more than disclose, to outreach.
Outreach.
Right. Have a conversation like we're having right now after the results are in.
Yeah, okay, got it. Yeah.
And I think this group has talked about that, an educational component, if you will, sort of an outreach to the people, whether it be through an open house or at a regular council meeting.
Sure. So to me, the advantage of that is that, again, to be a technical report might be a challenge when you don't have somebody when you have a question answer period. But then on our side, the other advantage is, of course, is that part of the mission of the university is service and extension and outreach, and that would give us an opportunity to be able to disseminate things that we're learning at the university on behalf of the city to the general public.
Okay, so that's a value add item.
I suppose it would be.
I have to ask, you are planning to, presumably, if you were to do the work, you would be writing publications for scientific journals and that sort of thing as well?
Most likely.
Yeah, if something, publication-worthy came out of it.
You don't think just the, how do you say, just the background or baseline kind of data would generate a publication by itself?
It might. Finding it harder and harder to publish baseline monitoring data, which I generally find very unfortunate, because how can you ever tell if anything's changed unless you have that baseline information? But a lot of times it ends up getting lost in reports and government documents and things like that. And so I find it unfortunate those sorts of things don't get published. But given the current focus of a lot of the journals that I read anyway, the scientific journals that I read, it's not new and exciting, fortunately, doesn't fly.
You know, there could be, even if there's no interesting chemistry that comes out of that, like Charlie brought up the issues with, you know, maybe something's happening at these reference sites that was unexpected. Mm-hmm. So that might be something that would be worth pursuing.
But certainly the intent, in part because, again, coming back to the university's needs, that we all need to document our activities to the university by more than working on projects. We need to actually come up with the products as well, and publications is in large part the currency in which we trade. So we'll be working on that as well.
Okay. Well, we are after that. We need to have a follow-up discussion, and okay. And thank you very much for for coming out.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time. Do a timeline that you're aware of at this point in time?
Well, I know that we need to make a presentation to the council at the end of this month.
April 16th, if we can.
If we can, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm gone the 24th, 2 weeks.
You're gone until the 24th?
I'm gone after the 24th till the 10th. And,
well, it's tentatively scheduled.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your time.
We went there on the schedule.
Thank you. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Together.
Always read everything else. Take care. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Thank you. It's tentatively scheduled, and if we stick with the schedule that's in the RFP, and I
the schedule is for which 14th? April?
April 16th.
Oh, April 16th.
Yes. When we give presentation to the council.
It's when the recommendation would go to the city council, and hopefully there would be some of you, hopefully not a quorum of you, who would come and be prepared to address the recommendation that night. Now, we can put this off until May 7th, but I wouldn't put it off later than May 7th.
I think that we should. I would be out of town after that.
Yes,
we have to do it by the 16th.
Let's do it on the 16th.
Yeah. Just awesome. Shoot for the 16th.
And I can probably, I think I can be there.
I can be there.
If you be.
So
I'll be there.
No, I know I have to go to Southern Cal sometime around that time frame, so, but I'll go up from schedule. But let me ask. It's for some offsite meeting. Oh, geez. Oh, okay. Well, thank you. But anyway, do we have enough information to make a decision? Or what?
I do. I'd be ready right now.
You have a little evaluation forms if you want to go through them or take a moment and complete
sure.
them. You don't
right
have
now.
To do that if you don't want to.
I was
going to
say,
like,
do we need to score this?
No, you don't
I
need
did.
To. But those
I
are
did.
The criteria that were listed in the RFP.
Yes,
so
we have
hopefully
to score
you've
them.
Thought about it.
You know, one versus the other.
Yep, that's
well,
what
I have my own. Evaluation.
And you already
that's
said,
side by
yeah,
total.
But it's something.
Total them up and we'll see what the total is.
Can you guys stay a little longer just to get
yes.
past this?
Charlie, yes,
can,
just
can
to
you
get
know.
After that.
What's that?
You can use your own evaluation that you already did.
Okay.
And so can Anne.
Okay,
well, I'll just scribble mine on the top.
I'll just do this.
If you want.
Okay, so do you want to just go side by side, start at no, and then the OSU, or?
Should we close
no.
the door?
Yes, yeah, please close the door.
But
you've worked with samples and labs. And
yes.
How do you feel about OSU not having experience with the lab?
Oh, it's the same. I mean, in other words, at some level, none of the people in this room were doing any of the actual chemistry. Mm-hmm. They were sending, the NOAA group was sending half of them, was doing part of it at the NOAA lab in Seattle, and then also, I forgot the name of the analytical lab, it's like Columbia Analytical Lab in Washington State. And then FICES is the lab in Southern California, which is best known for, it's why one of our people recused himself, because he used to work with them. But they were part of SCORP that did all of the bioaccumulation studies for San Diego Harbor
yeah.
and that sort of thing. So they're definitely very high ranked. And in both cases, essentially, it's going to be kind of a packaging and sending the samples off from Newport.
But in NOAA's case, they're working with people that they've worked with doing this all the time. I heard OSU say they haven't used that lab before.
FICES? I don't know that OSU, I would guess you're right, and that OSU probably has not used, like those individuals in particular have not used FICES before. But I think FICES is probably the entity
yeah.
for
but
this type of analysis.
I don't see that as a problem at
you
all.
Don't.
No.
So it's
no.
an industry
the part that bothers me is both of these things are a long ways away. The samples are have to be handled right
in
to mean
things.
Something
oh,
when,
yeah.
when they're
disproving
out there. And
I think both,
so,
yeah.
But
so
they both addressed it. And I think that, you know, essentially what OSU is planning to do is, you know, once they get the samples and get them in the appropriate containers, they've got them, would have them on dry ice presumably, and get them, they're planning to ship, to personally drive them over to OSU, because that is
in Corvallis,
because that is where they have, presumably, that somebody comes by daily and ships them one place or another.
Yeah. If it's all new, it seems like it's at risk for not working the way you think it's going to work.
Well, there is that.
As opposed to something that's, in NOAA's case, they are using facilities that they've used a lot.
And I would say on the flip side of some of this, NOAA's never been out there in the ocean.
Right.
Right. Those people are estuarine folks. They've mm-hmm. never, and this stood out to me huge, they're using a 1.5 meter beam trawl. They're talking about a 6.5 meter mm-hmm. otter trawl. They will immediately have to refine and use different gear. I called Terry Thompson up and I asked him about that, and he was like, "They'll never get an otter trawl back there."
Yeah, well, that's the main thing.
They'll get a lot of rocks.
Is the OSU people have been sampling
physically
right
have been sampling there for
and,
the last year?
As Sarah said, she can tell where she is.
by what comes up.
Okay, so let's put this into the first section then. So qualifications and experience and demonstrated ability, and that last comment was demonstrated ability.
Noah has to rent the Hatfield Marine inside the ship.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's a cost difference.
Right, yeah. But who has the ship?
Yeah, well, that's...
No, but they were, what is it, the Calliope they're using?
Yeah.
I've forgotten. But the point is that, and one of them actually said that the Alaka, which is the OSU ship, is rented through August as
so
we speak.
Right, so the old people can't even get the boat.
That's right, so they can't
so
even
get
the
boat. So what happens if the weather is unsuitable for them to go out when they have the boat available?
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Right.
That's why, OSU, like the boat, having the boat is a really big deal. It makes it very flexible for them.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that I don't think Noah could achieve it.
But they can. But
going on this first point here, I just want to disclose what I know about these people, and this is, you could read up on this.
Would that give you
I don't
you
think
a,
it's biased. I think it's what I understand about their professional experience, and but Noah does a lot of, these folks have done a lot of toxicology, a lot of pollutant stuff, primarily estuarine, very little, so they have a lot of strength.
But who's estuarine, Noah? Or
Noah.
Okay.
So they have a lot of strength in the analyte side of things, I would say. They have less strength in collection in the ocean. On the flip side of things, OSU has a ton of experience out there with collection on the ocean, and very little experience with the bioaccumulation and the analyte. So they kind of...
No, but they're subcontractors.
I'm not saying that they're not capable.
Yeah.
I'm saying this is the background of these individuals. And I think it's actually very interesting that we got a very marine-focused group that doesn't have bioaccumulation, a lot of bioaccumulation experience, and then we got a bioaccumulation group that has very little marine experience.
So, okay, let me just go by qualifications on Noah versus... OSU. Who is stronger of the two for qualifications?
I guess the way I phrased it was that, okay, both proposals are excellent and are capable of doing the work. However, one of them actually has experience in that exact geographic location and a subcontracting for the exact chemical research. And it was an actual slight difference between, say, bioaccumulation, which is OSU, versus pollutants, or the examination of pollutants and the effects on fish, if you will, which is what the NOAA group is doing.
Okay, so then I would say for the core competency of what we're looking for, the NOAA would come out stronger.
No. I scored OSU with a 30.
Oh, and I scored NOAA with 27.
And that's exactly what I did.
I say we just add them all up and we'll just have
well,
a total.
Well, that's typically how it's done.
Because otherwise you're going to read.
But I think some people wanted to talk about just what we...
And I think that's a good thing to do before you score, if you haven't already scored.
Sure, okay. All right, so then if you've scored that first section, scored one or the other?
No,
I haven't made it.
Okay.
But you guys are helping me make the
I dinged him because he didn't have the boat. But they're both excellent, competent, capable.
I almost put them equal.
Yes. They are.
I mean, this is near shore.
They are very competitive.
Okay.
But let's are we past this first one, or do we want to keep discussing this first area? I think people can score it how they want to score it.
Right, I'm going to go ahead and... we talked about the first box, the qualifications, experience, and demonstrated ability both have strengths and weaknesses in collection and subcontracting or processing the samples. So I'm kind of looking at their equals.
That's just my opinion. Quality and responsiveness of proposal to scope of service, you're looking at the second one?
No, he's still reviewing the first one.
Oh, the first one. I'm so sorry. Okay.
No, but this, if we're good with the first box, then we can move on.
I think we should just
move on.
Explain what we are looking at, then everyone can vote their own.
Okay.
but what the, kind of like what you two were just doing.
Was just go through a discussion of each one. Yeah, everybody gets one. Okay. Quality and responsiveness is a proposal to the scope of service detailed in the RFP. I think that's kind of straightforward, but.
Well, you talked about the whole animal versus, you know, what they proposed. The processes were a little bit different, and then also OSU had tier one, tier two. One, it was kind of gray of what was included. They provided the clarity. So, based on that, more conversation.
Not being a biologist, but reading the proposals, NOAA came across to me more thorough.
Theirs was a very polished presentation. Very polished.
But
the other was a little more random. But
But I'm no judge of the meat of what it was they were saying.
I was more comfortable with the OSU criteria, and I'll tell you, I mean, if you look at this, we're getting more out of the OSU. There's more annelids covered than there are in the NOAA, substantially more. So if you actually look at those lists, you know, like NOAA proposes, I think, 46, you know, phenols, and the OSU has, like, I think, up to 60-something phenols that they're looking at.
Are they different things, or is it...
They're the same, so, and then in addition. So I basically went through and I said, are they both looking at the same analysts, or is one looking at different ones than the other one? Mm-hmm. And they're all covering the same ones, right. but OSU one has more, some additional ones. And I actually was really surprised that they included all the analysts that they did, stuff that's totally non-related to, or we would think would be non-related to effluent, but I think that's great information to have, but and I was actually pretty surprised.
Like when FISIS runs their procedures, they automatically get this whole panel, so it's no extra cost to get the greater, the longer list.
Yeah, I think they're a bit more of a...
Well, one of their responses is that I liked was their really, you know, OSU's description of the type of animals, the age of the animals,
that was
the seasons,
excellent.
When they're going to collect, the best optimal
that
time. NOAA touched on that,
but they
the OSU really deep dived on it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, going back to Charlie's comment about the nets that they proposed, that indicates that the NOAA people don't know what it takes to sample in this area. Mm-hmm. They haven't done it before.
Right.
Yeah. So
Sarah's been out there doing this sampling, very similar to this,
right,
for a lot of the wave energy stuff.
Yeah.
So she's actually just been right around the corner at Yukon Head doing, you know, these same things, pulling these nets. So that's, and I kind of pointed that question about the beam because I wanted to hear her give the rationale for it, and I wanted the group to be exposed to the rationale behind that.
Well, Anne was also pointing out that they're going to be doing water column.
Yeah, they're also doing water column work with each sample, which...
We didn't ask them to do.
We didn't ask them to do, but the point is that it shows, how do you say, a certain amount of research sense in this, in that if you just rely on the CH2M Hill data, which is what NOAA was going to do, conditions just might be different that particular time. So it's, I thought it was a really wise thing to do, is to also do the nutrients, the water nutrients.
The other thing that impressed me in the OSU one that I didn't see in NOAA, and this goes into that, it's researching it, is that they identified that there's been health assessments done and there's background for a lot of these species offshore. And in addition to making these comparisons of the reference sites, they will be making all of these in comparisons to studies that have been done offshore with these same species.
Yeah.
So you'd be able to say, you know, at our reference sites and in this
and
zone
others,
of impact,
right.
You know. Mm-hmm. So it would be, to me, that looks well beyond what has just been
Yeah, you're touching on the why questions both of them had, and that was Pete's question, why are you doing the work? One was it's local work, and the other one is ongoing studies of the same type. So, but that also ties into the next block for cost reasonable appropriateness, necessity.
Well, I gave them both 20 for that because they were identical.
I don't know where quite it fits, but not Noah, but Hatfield is saying that they would do an educational outreach because this all started with a public outpouring of, I think, instead just quietly, I think it needs that to kind of...
If you want to look at the...
And they would do that.
I think those are that what were you calling it?
Value add?
Value add. I mean, like the engaging students and...
Yeah, I really like...
I really like that. I don't know if we want that as part of our criteria, but I have to say, personally, I think I'm very impressed by that.
Exactly.
When I came into this whole thing, I was thinking, is there any way this could be a student project?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sweeteners.
A real sweetener.
So I don't know where that fits in, but I like being able to give that presentation at the end.
Community benefit.
I think they're polished enough.
The community benefits and anything on that?
Seminars at the Rain Science Center every Thursday. Whoever gets it will present.
I thought I heard Noah say that it was educational too, but
they do.
Probably for employees.
They do, but more for their internally.
Yeah.
Right. So one thing that struck me is the OSU folks, if they're going to use this as an outreach topic, should coordinate with the city on that.
That would have to be, I think.
Yeah. Oh, no, we would definitely.
We have to ask.
That.
I think we first have to ask.
I think
the city.
We need to make it specific to them so that they don't.
Oh, the city has to have the.
I think that we can. I think that can go into the
contract.
The contract.
Okay.
Is that if you're going to do any outreach or whatever on this, that it comes with a certain understanding of when and how that's decided, but I do think
work with the city of it.
I think the city's going to be very much interested in.
Oh, they'll be interested in doing it, but
sure. But
you know they don't want to just hand it off to their PR folks. We just did this great study, and without talking to the city.
No, we won't do that.
Well, but OSU.
She said that she's going to put it in the contract, though.
Yeah,
to make it explicit.
So it can't get loose without the city having some reins to it.
Right. No, I mean, we'll want to do something, and they are required, or we at least listed in the RFP, that they need to provide an executive summary at the end. Mm-hmm. And so when we write the contract, we'll provide that there be some educational outreach coordinated by the city.
Coordinated by the city. Oh, you know all those terms, yes.
Okay, so the last one, location of business for availability, I think they're equal, right?
They're equal. Mm-hmm.
They're both.
Well, what's bad, though?
They're both here.
They're on the other side of the bridge.
Tell that to Pete.
Yeah, tell that to Pete.
I retired Fed, okay. So.
That's fair in Washington.
Everybody have their points or scores?
No. Yes.
And so.
I guess we could do an average, but I don't have a calculator. Does anyone have one on their phone?
I got a new phone. You got one to the booth?
And what I'll do is, if somebody averages the numbers, I'll put them on here, and then
phones.
This will be the...
Do you remember when phones were phones? Remember when phones were still phones?
I always had a phone that was just a phone, then it broke. I just got a new one last week.
What are we doing here?
Okay, so what you're going to do is everyone is...
Just so we need to look at the phones.
Okay, what we got
is... What we'll do is give Charlie on the first... criteria for Noah, for example, give him your ranking, and then you'll just put them in your calculator and divide it by 6 so you can come up with an average, and I'll put the average in here.
Okay, so we're doing Noah right now?
Noah first.
Okay, let's start with Frank.
Okay, so...
Just say a number.
Just the whole number.
The first one.
The first
30, because I... Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Jim?
28.
25.
28. 27. Oh, you
and
got
Charlie it. Has a number.
And I have 27 as well. So that total
is
165.
So just divide by
divide
6.
By 6.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we're doing. That's right. 27.5.
That's what I just... No.
Good for
hey,
you.
Perfect.
All right, so let's move on to number 2, which is quality and responsiveness proposal and scope of service detail.
For
RP.
NOAA.
For NOAA, yes. We're still
okay,
on
okay, for NOAA, 20.
Out of 40?
Mm-hmm. Don't question.
Okay.
Just 37.
37.
30.
35.
40. 40. And I had 38.
200. 30 divided 6. By 6. 7. 33.33. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. Cost reasonableness?
10.
10.
My Frank really scores.
19.
Hard.
19.
15.
15.
20.
20.
18.
18. And I gave him a 19. 101.
6. Here we go. 16.83.
And lastly, location, business.
It's already filled out. It's 10.
Oh, it's already filled out?
It's already filled out. Did anybody have anything other than 10?
Did anybody have anything other than 10?
I don't know.
Oh, both they're back in Washington, D.C.
None of them are in Washington, D.C.
Okay, so we all had 10.
Did you have any?
Except for you're the niner.
Well, I'll do 10.
Okay.
8.75.
That's the furthest building.
Okay, so do we want to add these up?
Yeah, there's a reason. So 27.5, 33.3,
16.8,
and 10.
Minus surrounding areas.
87.6.
Thank you. I'm loading upward to OSU.
All right.
30.
30. Jim.
30.
28. 28. 30. 30. 30. 30. And I had 30 equals 178 divided by 6. 29.67.
No 666?
It is, but we're rounding here if we want to kind of see where this is going. But,
I'm impressed.
40. Right, we got a 40.
39.
35. I was
35.
40. I wasn't doing the great inflation thing.
What's that? 40. 40. And I gave him a 40 really as well.
That's the one that
tilts
it.
Oops.
39.7.
I'm sorry, guys. I totally
well,
missed
it's,
that.
They're put in 160 plus 39 and 35.
160 plus 39.
And 35.
35.
Oh, good job.
There you go. Yeah, you were paying attention. Divided by 6 equals 39.7. No, nope, exacto. Mundo. Okay. All right, cost reasonableness, Frank.
20.
I got 22, yeah. So there we go.
22 or 20?
No, 20. 20 as well.
Also.
Location for business, everybody do that 10 on that one?
Yeah.
All right. So our grand total.
29.67. Plus 39, plus 30.
20. Oh, plus 30, you're right. 10 and 20 is 30.
I just skipped a step.
You're good. God, you do math.
You got these?
I do.
98.6.
Did you want us to sign them?
Yes, please.
Ah, I got to sign them? Top
yes,
or the
please.
Bottom?
Any place you want.
Oh, boy. There must have been some history here. I don't know about it.
Well, we have to keep these for a certain period of time.
And I didn't write on these. All right.
Well, Milton is so excited.
Wow, what a cool signature.
Oh, it's a scroll.
What a cool scroll. That's perfect.
No one can copy it.
That's right. That's what you want. You definitely want.
So what was the...
98.
What are you looking for? Numbers?
Yeah, on OSU.
OSU's was 98.67.
Okay, that was the final?
Uh-huh,
okay.
And NOAA's was 87.6.
Okay.
We can never tell them.
So there you go. Well, they're going to listen to this perhaps, but...
So will council make the final decision on this then?
Is this your recommendation that it be OSU? I mean, it clearly seems to be...
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm going to stop it now. Are we
we're not
through still taping.
Yeah,
but we're getting ready.
Figure out follow-up here. So... Right.
So if that's your recommendation, I will try to put together a staff report. And if somebody could plan on, one or two of you plan on showing up on Monday the 16th.
So if it's a Monday, yeah, I don't fly out till Tuesday, so there's a good chance.
I'm flying out Tuesday the 17th, but I could probably...
I can be there, too. I don't know how many of us need to be there.
Hopefully not more than three, because then I have to notice it as a joint meeting. Oh, okay.
I just won't come, if that's the
issue. I will come. You should go.
I'll come, and I'll even talk.
I mean, you're the smart ones.
Well,
you won't be here, right?
Let's figure out who's coming, so I know that there's not going to be a quorum.
How about you guys? If you've got scheduling.
I can come.
Okay, Ann, Pete, and Charlie?
No.
And there's too or many, Ann, just someone sit in the audience and don't say anything.
No, well, it won't matter if there's four of you in the audience, we're in trouble.
Just someone needs to leave?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Ann and who? No.
I'm planning to be there.
Okay,
so
Ann and Pete and Frank or Charlie?
Right, yeah.
I don't mind doing it if you're...
I can be here. It doesn't matter to me either. So let me check my schedule.
But not both of you.
Yeah, no. We'll coordinate. It'll be one of us.
Okay, thank you.
How's that?
Yes. All right, so...
What time?
And Frankie.
Yeah, that's an important one.
Just let me know.
Okay.
I'll just assume you're going to go.
At 6 p.m. We'll try to get it near the beginning of the agenda.
Yeah. Fantastic. You did that last time, I think.
And so I assume we just are just going to wait for the council. They're going to make an announcement or decision about this.
I gather we don't say a thing.
I will see these people, and they're going to ask me, and I'm going to go, I can't. That's a council decision.
It's a council decision.
Because we can't make it.
No.
Yeah, I mean,
what you're making
I'm
is a recommendation to council to enter into an agreement.
Okay.
Well,
16th, I'll check the calendar.
I guess this is a public meeting, so I mean, if someone looked at the public notes.
I mean, you can say that there will be a recommendation forthcoming to council on the 16th, and that at this point is...
I pass it on to the neighbor.
I mean, that's not a secret.
No, I'll definitely read it.
Okay.
We can say what now, Peggy?
You can say that your group, this task force, will be making a recommendation to council. Council will be hopefully acting on it on April 16th, and that the recommendation from the task force is to award a contract to OSU.
Okay, so we can say that.
Yeah, because this is a public meeting.
This is
going
to go on record. She's going to put
that on the website tomorrow.
Actually, that's good that we can say that.
Yeah, I think it's important too, because people, if we get asked or whatever,
I'll be asked.
Of course, the city will.
Mary will knock on my door first thing in the morning.
Yeah,
yeah, and I'm lying to him. See Scott here in about 5 minutes.
Tell her it was.
Are you headed over to Beer One?
I am.
I will tell her it was close.
It was.
Their presentation was very professional.
You know what? I thought they were both excellent.
Yeah.
And I really.